Take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, a passage of Scripture that I have referred to a number of times throughout the Christmas season here, and I want to refer to it again tonight. I have said that whenever you look into Scripture, it is possible to find something new. Now, that new thing may not necessarily be entirely new. I've never seen this before, because if you've read Scripture, you have therefore seen it. But it might be something that just recaptures your attention or reminds you of something that you have forgotten, or just a different slant on things. And I think there's something here that, quite frankly, I never really paid any attention to before, and that caught my attention this week in my study. You know the story, how the angel of God appeared unto Joseph, according to verse 20, in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now here's the part that captured my attention. Now all this was done. What's all this? Well, it's the activity of verse 20 that the angel of the Lord is speaking to, which really has reference over to Luke's gospel when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said that the conception of Jesus wouldn't be in the normal things, but that the power of the highest would come upon her, the Holy Spirit would overshadow her. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and then he goes into the passage in Isaiah chapter 7, which I'm not going to dwell on tonight. But this is the thing. All this was done in order to fulfill prophecy. God gave a prophetic declaration about 700 years prior to this time that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel and so forth and so on. And this was done in order to accomplish it. What was done? A miracle. God fulfills prophecy, and that's what I want us to consider tonight, first of all, by the means of sometimes doing the miraculous. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea." Why did they say that? Well, the end of the verse says, "For thus it is written by the prophet." About 500 years prior to this time, Micah the prophet had said that it was out of Bethlehem, Ephrata, that the Deliverer, the Redeemer, the Savior would come, whose going forth had been of old, of everlasting. Somehow, and I alluded to this morning in our message, God had to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem in order to fulfill prophecy. How did he do it? It was not by means of a miracle. It was by means of providence, divine providence, using a Caesar to impose a tax upon people that they had to go back to their place of birth for registration. He got Mary and Joseph to the place where prophecy could be fulfilled. God uses two means, sometimes the miraculous, sometimes providence, in order to fulfill prophecy. But in those two means, he always fulfills prophecy. I want us to consider tonight, what is the miraculous? What is divine providence? How does it affect our lives? Or how do we understand it and then make application to what is yet prophetically awaiting to be fulfilled? Let's start with... Am I turned on here? I probably just advanced things far beyond what they should be. There we go. What is a miracle? Let me give you a definition that I have hammered out for what a miracle is. Now it won't move at all. Okay, Glenn, I'm stuck. It's not. There we go. I got it. A miracle is a supernatural event occurring in the natural realm apart from natural causes, and therefore unexplainable by natural phenomena. Now let me stop there before I get to the purposes. A miracle is a supernatural event. It is something that comes from the hand of God occurring in the natural realm. For example, go back to the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea. God did a miracle. It happened within the natural realm. It didn't happen in heaven. It happened on earth. But apart from natural causes. I have heard programs, maybe you have heard and seen them on TV, where scientists and so forth try to explain some of the miracles of the Bible and how scientifically they are possible. And I appreciate these folks are saying, you know, you shouldn't discount miracles. Miracles are possible. Here's scientific reason to believe that a miracle could take place. But if you can explain a miracle scientifically, then it's not miraculous. All miracles are by the hand of God, and they are unexplainable in human terms by natural phenomena. God did something that no man can duplicate, that quote-unquote Mother Nature herself. And I hate that term. You know, every time I hear weather people referring to Mother Nature, I think, you know what? There is no such thing as Mother Nature. Weather occurs by the hand of God, and that's an act of providence. Weather occurs by the hand of God, but we cannot say on a TV program, God is doing this. But we can say, without any scientific impunity, that Mother Nature is doing this and get away with it. Now, that's backwards to me. Nonetheless, a miracle is a supernatural event occurring in the natural realm apart from natural causes, therefore unexplainable by natural phenomena, for the purposes of, number one, the accomplishment of the will of God. God does the miraculous not just to show off. God does the miraculous for the primary purpose of having His will accomplished. Number two, for the display of the power of God. In that God does the miraculous in order to accomplish His will, He says, He doesn't say necessarily, but He demonstrates, can you guys do this? Remember with Moses and Pharaoh, how Moses would do the miracles, and the Egyptians, the magicians, would try to do the same thing and imitate them, and even the rod of Moses turning into a snake, Jannes and Jambres, according to the Apostle Paul, did the exact same thing. But when it really came down to it, Moses' serpent ate up the magician's serpents, and God showed that His power was far greater than anything man could do. God will display His power. As the children of Israel, if you remember in the book of Joshua, are coming up to Jericho, and the spies are sent in, and Rahab meets them, and she says, "We heard what God did, and we became afraid of what He was going to do here." They heard of the miracles. They heard of the power of God. Thirdly, for the authenticating of the servant of God. Miracles were performed by men of God, and the miracles substantiated that they were, first of all, men sent from God, that the message that they were preaching was of God, and therefore to be obeyed by the ones to whom they were preaching. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, "Surely the signs of an apostle were wrought among you." We demonstrated the power of God by the miraculous things that God enabled us to do. And because of that, we have apostolic authority that you guys better be obedient to. They authenticated the servant of God. And then finally, and ultimately, they were to bring glory to the Son of God. When miracles weren't performed, people didn't bow down and worship the miracle worker unless He was the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, even the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, as he sees the unfolding of the events and everything, and this angel is delivering these things, he falls down to worship the angel. The angel said, "Better not do that. I'm just one of your fellow servants." Said, "The only one you're supposed to worship is God." All the miraculous things that were done were meant to, in the end of time, to bring honor and glory to the Son of God. That's a miracle. We're going to consider that and what's going on today in just a second. But first of all, let me define providence. What is God's providence? Providence is the activity of God intervening in the natural realm consistent with natural means. God uses people. God uses nature. God uses events. Not in a miraculous way, but in ways that can be explained scientifically, but yet have the hand of God behind them. How does God display His providence? What is the purpose of it? Well, number one, for the accomplishment of the will of God. Just like the miraculous, God is always interested in accomplishing His will. We are told to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says that the will of God is a perfect will, and God is always looking to accomplish His will. Secondly, divine providence. Oh yeah, now they're all going. For display of the sovereignty of God. Not that it's necessarily showing the miraculous power of God, but that God is in control, that God is a God to be obeyed. That God is a wise God, that God knows what's going on. He is an omniscient God, that there's nothing that is hidden from Him, that you can't get away with anything, that God is concerned about the things of life, that God cares for you, that God is in control, that God is fulfilling His purposes. Thirdly, for the empowering of the servant of God. God uses things providentially to enable the servant of God to accomplish the will of God. Sometimes you're going to be in a situation and you're wondering how you're going to get something accomplished within the will of God. And a miracle will not take place. But God brings the event around you that will enable you to get things done. Sometimes God works providentially through the means of prayer. By the way, that's why we have Wednesday night. Because we have a God who demonstrates His providence over the affairs in relationship to the prayers that we pray. We are commanded to pray about things. Yes, God knows already what's going to take place, what the needs are before the words ever leave our lips, but God invites us to pray with Him. God gives us the privilege of conversing with Him, of fellowshipping with Him, and in response to those prayers, He empowers us to accomplish His will. And then finally, in order to bring glory to the Son of God, God demonstrates His providence over the affairs of men. If God fulfills prophecy by the means of providence and by the means of the miraculous, it stands to reason that there is going to be opposition to the will of God in the areas of the miraculous, in the areas of His providential dealings. Satan is certainly not wanting to see the will of God accomplished. He, as an adversary, stands in direct opposition to the will of God being accomplished. If God has prophesied that something is going to take place, God or Satan will do everything possible in his abilities to keep that from happening. For example, in the Christmas story, in the passage that we just started reading concerning Herod, Herod goes out knowing that Christ has come into the world to save the people from their sins. He wants to get rid of this Savior before He can go to the cross and die for them. And Satan is actively looking to kill every baby under the age of two so there can be no Messiah who will go to the cross. Well, God has prophesied that this is going to take place. God has to get His will done. So there's going to be opposition to either the miraculous workings of God or the providential workings of God. Where does that opposition come from? What's the opposition that you and I will be facing today concerning these areas? Let's take, first of all, the issues of miracles. There are those who will oppose it, who will say miracles do not occur. Generally speaking, this is the atheistic crowd that will say that. There is no God out there. And if there is no God out there, then miracles can't take place. Everything must be able to be explained scientifically. If you cannot come up with a scientific explanation for it, then it's not because there's a God out there, it's because you simply do not have enough knowledge about science. And even the atheist will admit that there are things that are unexplainable, but if we keep at it, we'll finally come up with an explanation somewhere down the line. So if I can convince you that miracles do not take place, then you cannot believe and trust in a God who does miracles. Makes a whole lot of sense. On the other hand, there are those who are saying that miracles are occurring all the time. You had the Oral Roberts of a few years ago who wrote a book, Expect a Miracle. That miracles are to be the part and parcel of life, that they should be happening every day. In fact, the saying became popular, a miracle a day keeps the devil away. How many of you have ever experienced a miracle a day? Now here the problem is sometimes the definition of miracles comes down to the act of God's providence. The two are confused. But miracles, if you do a study through them throughout Scripture, very rarely took place. Do you realize that there were only three significant periods of time in 4,000 years of history when miracles took place? They took place under Moses and Joshua. They took place under Elisha and Elijah, and they took place in the first century with Jesus and the apostles. And other than that, throughout the rest of history, miracles did not take place. There were only three concentrated times when miracles took place. When Israel was forming as a nation, when Israel was working its way through its monarchy and trying to get established as a nation under the leadership of Elijah and Elisha, and when Christ came to inaugurate the church. That's the only time miracles have taken place in any regularity. Now, does God do miracles? Certainly He does. But may I say that God is no longer using men to perform miracles. In the first century, God used the gifts of the apostles and others who had the gift of miracles to perform the miraculous. But those were things for the authenticating of the servant of God. The Word of God has taken that place. It is no longer needed. What the apostles wrote has been authenticated by their ministry. They no longer need to write any miracles. Prophecy has ceased. Therefore, the authenticating process ceases with us. And miracles by the hand of man is no longer necessary. Does that mean that God has stopped doing miracles? Not a chance. God still is capable and does miracles. God intervenes at times and does things beyond scientific explanation. There are those who have received miracles in answers to prayer. There are those who have been healed of diseases and doctors can't explain it. God is capable and does the miraculous, but they do not happen every day. There are those who say miracles occur according to a formula. All you have to do is say the right words or write to this ministry and get their prayer cloth. Or better, send a check to this ministry and God is going to open up the floodgates of the miraculous. But if you do certain things, then miracles are bound to come your way. Do you know there was never any such thing about miracles in the Bible that there were conditions on which they were done? God did miracles when God chose to do the miraculous. And then finally, I don't know, Glenn, I think my clicker needs a miracle. If miracles don't occur, then you don't need God for miracles. The humanist will say, and this doesn't have to be the atheist, but the humanist will say, if you want to do the miraculous, and I'll put quotations around the word miraculous, just look inside yourself. All you have to do is believe in yourself, and you can do the miraculous. Well, by definition, you can't. A miracle is that which only can be accomplished by the hand of God. And if you look inside yourself, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, O wretched man that I am. You're not going to find human abilities to accomplish things of divine nature. God will do the miraculous. Miracles do occur. They do not occur according to a formula. They do not occur all the time. And you do need God in order to do them. Now let's consider providence. What's the attack on providence today? Well, number one is the idea, whatever will be, will be. God is in charge. So what does it matter what I do or what I don't do? When God wants His will done, He'll get it done with or without me. Well, the fact of the matter is, God can get His will done with or without you. But without you is called sin. And the purpose of providence was to bring honor and glory to God. How does a sinful being refusing to accomplish the will of God bring honor and glory to Him? That's not providence. That's judgment. That's discipline. Number two, whenever something happens, since there is no God out there, things happen by chance. What a coincidence, we'll say. Because we don't see the hand of God moving behind the scenes. Things just happen coincidentally, and there's no reason for it. Occasionally I like to play Internet Hearts on my computer. If you have a Windows program, you probably have that ability. You click on and you meet three other non-named persons on the Internet, and you play the game of Hearts with them. And one of the things that you can do to send messages, they have some preset messages. You can't type in anything. That controls what's being said. But one of the things that you can do is wish the other people that are playing good luck. I have never, ever clicked on that thing. You know why? There is no such thing. There is no such thing as luck. Luck implies that things happen without chance, without purpose. I have a God who exercises providence in the world. I wish there was a thing, good providence. I'd click on that one. But things don't happen by chance. Number three, God does not need me to accomplish His will. I've referred to this one already. God does need you to accomplish His will. Could He have found another Mary to accomplish the birth of Christ? I'm certain that He could have. Could He have found another Joseph? I'm sure that He could have. Could He have found another Moses? I'm sure He could have. Could He have found anyone else to do the work? Yes, He could have. Could God have done things miraculously? Yes, He could have. But God accomplishes His will according to His purposes. And His purposes mean us. And He does need us to accomplish His will. And then finally, things happen only by human design. In other words, not only do you have to look inside you for the miraculous to happen, but you have to look up here and come up with a great game plan. You have to sit and you have to think and you have to design and you have to work every detail out in order to work things together. And certainly there's a modicum of truth to that. We shouldn't be haphazard in accomplishing the will of God. We are to know the will of God, first of all. We are to be obedient to the details of the will of God. But we can never change the will of God by what we do. We cannot sit here and think, you know what, Lord, I got a better plan. We'll never have a better plan than God. Our minds will never come to a place where we can outthink God. Now, let's take these two things, providence and the miraculous, and relate them to the everyday affairs of life. God has given us a number of prophecies that are yet waiting to be fulfilled. Most important one is Jesus Christ is coming again. How is that going to take place? Is it just going to happen by chance? God's going to wake up one morning and say, this seems like a good day to come. Or does he have a plan? Should we sit back and say, well, he's coming whenever he wants to come, so what difference does it make what I do? As we look at the events that are going on in the world today, do you see the providential hand of God working? Now, it may be difficult at times to understand how every little event of history will work out to the ultimate fulfillment of the purposes of God. But do you see what's going on in the nation of Israel today? Do you see what's going on in the world as setting the stage for what prophecy tells us will happen in the end times? If you do, you will see the providential hand of God. Well, you say to yourself, I'm looking at the providential hand of God and I see certain things that must come to take place, and those things couldn't happen in the normal realm for at least another 100 years or 10 years. Unless there's a miracle. But can God do miracles? You see, one of the things, if we overemphasize the providence of God, we'll tend to put time frames on things. Well, I don't think the rapture could come today because I don't see all these things taking place, and it'll take so long for these things to occur. So I think we've got at least 10 years until the rapture takes place. Now, that may be good thinking, apart from the miraculous aspect of God's hand, because things can change overnight by a miracle. 2,000 years ago, things changed overnight when Jesus Christ came into this world. Therefore, in consideration that the next great prophetic event could take place at any time, how should we live? We should be keeping our eyes as to what's going on, seeing the providential hand of God, and trusting in the miraculous hand of God that could change things at any minute. And therefore, doing what God has in His will today before it's too late. And the prophecy is fulfilled with or without us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, when we think about the Christmas story, we tend to focus on the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, Mary and Joseph, and all the other people that were involved. And tonight, as we paid attention, we saw two prophecies, one from Isaiah, one from Micah, being fulfilled. One being done miraculously beyond human explanation, and one being accomplished providentially. And we know then that God is still working miraculously and providentially today to bring about that which yet remains unfulfilled. We know that Jesus Christ is coming again. Lord, may we be found faithful to the task that is set before us of proclaiming the good news of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ for our sins, and the forgiveness that is found in trusting Christ, and the eternal life that we can have by knowing Him, to a world that is lost and dying before it's too late. Lord, accomplish the fulfillment of Your prophecies with us, through us, and even above us by the miraculous power You have. And may honor and glory be brought to the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. For that's what it's all about. In His name we pray. Amen.